This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're with Layla Mudin, who's our nutritionist in residence, and we're fielding your questions. Radio program at AOL.com is the destination. So what's next, Layla?
We've got an email from Isabel. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I do quite a bit of ballroom dancing, and sometimes after I get home, I could get little cramps in my toes or calves. I wear wide, low-heeled shoes. Well, those are the proper ballroom dancing shoes. How fun, ballroom dancing.
You so know, I wish, if I could be reincarnated as anyone, it would be as Gene Kelly.
I was going to say Fred Astaire.
Yeah, well, Fred Astaire.
Gene Kelly, yeah.
Gene Kelly, I just love his style of dancing. It's so relaxed and casual. Uh-huh. And I'm so the opposite.
You're not a dancer. Okay.
No. I wish I'd paid more attention in kindergarten.
So what Isabel does after a night of ballroom dancing, she takes magnesium. She even rubs magnesium lotion on her toes. What a great idea. Is there anything else you can recommend to prevent these cramps? Is there something I could do or take when I do get these cramps to stop them quickly? Thank you very much. I learned so much from your show. Dr. Hoffman, you mentioned pickle juice.
Right. So there's a couple of theories on this. One is that there's an electrolyte imbalance.
Yeah.
And so people
magnesium
use magnesium,
an
and magnesium is a muscle relaxant.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are any number of electrolytes that are depleted, potassium and sodium among them. Mm-hmm. Those are the chief electrolytes that get depleted by activity. So many sports drinks, you know, and I know this from my racing career, you know, they incorporate these various combinations of things to avert muscle cramps. And knockwood, I didn't have any muscle cramps during this race, even though it was hot.
Yeah.
I've had races where I've had muscle cramps, especially in hot weather. But, and so... The other theory, though, is that it's a neurological thing.
Hmm.
And it is not so much dependent on your levels of hydration or electrolytes. And hence, there's a product called Hot Shot.
Ah.
And it's popular among athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And what they say here is, well, first of all, what is it? It's actually like a spicy drink. And it's made, I think, from cayenne.
Ah.
And it says, drinking hot shot stimulates sensory neurons in the mouth, esophagus, and stomach. And the stimulated neurons send impulses to the spinal cord. And this is actually like kind of a distraction. The impulses overpower and inhibit repetitive signals coming to and from the cramped muscle. This stops repetitive signals and prevents and or treats the cramp. And the science, let's see, the research... shows, they claim, if you go to their website, it's teamhotshot.com. Hotshot's effects on cramp prevalence during workout, they say 51% decrease. In a study that's probably, you know, not Journal of the American Medical Association, Penn State researchers, maybe it was a commissioned study, you know, which sometimes biases towards the commissioner.
Uh-huh.
They've got a, you know, some scientific studies, they got a scientific advisory board of folks who believe it works. You know, PhDs and MDs and athletes.
So it kind of works by distraction.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the time when I was a kid and I was at the beach and I got stung by a jellyfish. And I ran out of the water crying. And my mother said to me, run, hurry, run, just run. And I started running. I don't know what I was running away from or running towards, but it got my mind off the thing. And by the time I was back, so, but Hot Shot, good stuff. All right, pickle juice.
Pickle juice is more of an electrolyte thing.
Yeah.
I think it's got a lot of sodium in it.
So even after you're done eating the pickles, it's probably a good idea to keep the jar in the fridge. Possibly.
Unless you have rampant hypertension, in which case it's not
true.
A good idea.
Or you're not a good idea.
Taking a diuretic or
and
something.
The other thing is you want to probably get your good pickles where they don't have a lot of additive preservatives, sodium benzoate, anything like that.
Right.
But the lactic acid fermented mm-hmm. pickles or something. Kimchi juice is wonderful. I think it tastes better than champagne.
But it's got probiotics in it.
That's true, too.
Do you think it tastes better than champagne?
Yeah. This particular one, which is a mild kimchi, not the spicy.
Yeah.
Spicy kimchi.
It's sweet kimchi.
Else. Yeah. It's not a sweet kimchi. It's just mild. It's not spicy at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the fermented liquid in there is just wonderful.
You counsel a lot of the patients to take kimchi as a way of mm-hmm. putting probiotic back.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So,
Isabel, thank you for your question.
It is actually really one of the mysteries is why people get cramps. And quinine can reduce cramps, but quinine is toxic, you know, so.
Mm. It's in tonic water.
There's a little bit, but they put water. Very
there's
little.
There's also sugar in tonic water. You don't want all that either.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or NutraSweet. Mm. You can have diet quinine water. It tastes terrible.
Yuck. Yeah. So we've got another question here from, this is another Jean. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, just heard your call for questions. While I think of a few questions, I want to pass this item on related to the question about obsessive compulsive disorder. Why don't I just say OCD instead of tripping on my tongue, that you commented on. It's
in a previous
podcast.
Q&A with Layla.
Yeah. It's about the possible relationship between OCD and strep infection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not sure if this is mostly only something that happens in children, or if adults could also have this reaction.
Well, it's typically a pediatric disease, but it's thought PANDAS.
Yes.
Which is, I always forget what that acronym stands
for. It's the acronym for Pediatric Autoimmune Neuropsychiatric Disorders Associated with Streptococcal Infections.
Right. And apparently, the mechanism for PANDAS is not exactly clear. I'm just looking at the website from the National Institutes of Mental Health. And what they say is the strep bacteria can, through molecular mimicry, kind of hang out in the body, and then when they're recognized as foreign, the child's immune system reacts by producing antibodies.
Yeah.
And the antibodies may attack the nervous system. They cross the blood-brain barrier, and they create havoc in the brain.
So this is OCD as an autoimmune.
It's like collateral damage against the presence of strep.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yes, it's an autoimmune disease, through molecular mimicry.
Very, very interesting.
And so the treatment for that is very long-term use of antibiotics.
Mm.
And I believe there's a nutritional component to this, too. And, you know, there are many naturopaths and MDs who are sort of treating childhood disorders. One of mm-hmm. them, my good colleague, Dr. Ken Bach, has written a book about childhood disorders, including PANDAS.
Yeah.
And he treats a lot of kids with, he treated some patients that we sent with PANDAS very successfully. We had some adults who were patients here and their child had PANDAS.
Yes.
And we said, well, you know, we don't treat that anymore. I mean, when I was first beginning my career for the first 5 years or so, I treated kids too. But then I said, mm-hmm. you know, my training is in adult medicine, so I'm going to treat adults. And so I sent the patients to Dr. Kenny Bach, and the kid is doing great.
Yeah.
So they grew out of it. But what they'll have is they'll have like throat clearing, which is not really, you know, it's like a tic.
Okay.
And or sometimes grimaces, or sometimes, in its worst manifestation,
like a Tourette's?
Swear words. Yeah, Tourette's.
Tourette's,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Which can be like, you know, Tourette's is like movements, but it's also sometimes involuntary swear words.
Right. I wonder how much
When did I see a movie that was,
there was
like
a movie.
A cruel mockery of Tourette's?
Yeah, or it was on one of those, a television show. Where,
did you see that too?
I forget.
But it was sort of a cruel mockery of
Tourette's. It was.
You know, knowing how devastating that condition is.
I wonder how much adult OCD then is about strep infection. I guess that would be a good thing to look at.
Yeah.
During an assessment or
something. Well, you know, it dates back. Historically, there was a condition described in the 19th century and maybe before called St. Vitus dance. And St. Vitus dance, we don't have St. Vitus dance anymore. This is the pre-antibiotic era.
Okay.
But St. Vitus dance was like a involuntary jerky movements of people. And they had no idea what it was from. They thought it maybe was demonic possession or something. But it actually, they believed that that was a strep-related disorder.
Wow.
Yeah. St. Vitus dance.
Okay, not as a result of a rave at a dance club or something like
that. It resembled it, but you know, people, you know, in an inappropriate setting were like having these movements.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Speaking of inappropriate settings, how about an appropriate shout out to one of our sponsors? We're going to allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share a vital message with you. So please listen up. Here goes.
As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. This is Dr. Ronald Hoppen with a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density to ensure your future bone health. It's Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone helps inhibit bone resorption and promotes new bone formation. The Osteothera plus Ipraflavone formulation is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. I believe in Osteothera plus Ipraflavone so much that I've included it in the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, and I recommend it to my patients. For more information, and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free and continuous resource to you, so long as you support our sponsors. So go out there and show them some love. Now back to our questions. What's next, Layla?
We've got a question here. Can you please tell me the difference between phosphatidylserine and phosphatidylcholine? I have the latter. Is it as good?
Well these are traditionally thought to be brain nutrients.
Yes. Yeah. Phosphatidylserine, probably more for memory, which is very, very helpful.
Easy to remember PS.
Yes, PS. Right.
Right.
It's a phospholipid. And phosphatidylcholine, which, you know, there will be a synergy because that's also part, it's helpful in the firing of neurotransmitters.
It is the precursor to acetylcholine.
Yes, yes.
So the question is, you know, again, I got to say, I've become a little skeptical because there are actually medications that have been designed to increase acetylcholine in the brain that are used for Alzheimer's. So those make phosphatidylcholine seem like weak tea, you know, very minimal effects compared to these strong medications which build up acetylcholine.
Mm-hmm.
And those medications don't work very well for Alzheimer's, so that's not the answer. They may confer some short-term benefits, but I actually think that the era of PC and PS it's a little passé. Hmm. Not that those things aren't good for maybe prevention, nerve prevention. I use them in multiple sclerosis sometimes, you know, where the myelin sheaths are in question because this is a building block for the myelin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, myelin is rich in phosphatidylcholine and phosphatidylserine. But I'm just not sure that that is going to dramatically slow the prevention of Alzheimer's.
Right, for Alzheimer's. But for general memory and to give a boost or to sharpen you up, say maybe for a television interview or something like that, taking some phosphatidylserine is helpful. Phosphatidylcholine is also very, very good for liver health.
Oh, that's for sure. That's 100% for that. That is, I think, the chief.
Yes. It's part of any good liver program.
Right.
Phosphatidylcholine. And it's also beneficial, I think, in pregnancy. It's a good idea to
choline
add on.
Choline is really important.
Is very good. Mm-hmm. Good for choline baby's brain.
Because it's often not, certainly not in the.
Yeah. So where do we find acetylcholine? We find it in egg yolks. We find it in liver. Choline is also a component of lecithin. Lecithin is also an egg yolk. So if you're eating these types of, it's where the fatty foods are. These are acetylcholine, phospholipids. It's about the cholesterol as well. So these cholesterol-containing foods.
Now, one downside of phosphatidylcholine and choline in general is that it increases levels of a bad substance, which is associated with cardiovascular disease.
Oh, let me guess.
TMAO. Which is easy to remember because it's substitute a T for the L in LMAO.
Right. Laugh my butt off.
Right. So it's TMAO. Yeah, I don't know. It says...
But weren't those studies, didn't they find that the problem with that is it has more to do with
the microbiome.
Yes, the microbiota more than anything.
Because in some people it's not the case.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah. So it's not settled science that choline...
That's per se.
Choline is so beneficial. Yeah.
You know, I see... I'm looking at the studies on phosphatidylcholine. This is a summary of the studies. This is low levels of phosphatidylcholine are associated with memory loss and Alzheimer's disease.
Mm.
And that this there's a study that did say that 80 healthy young adults found phosphatidylcholine supplementation improved memory. But and, there's not that many studies that show.
And in this day and age with so much anticholinergic medication,
this is from this is from 1993. So, you know, there hasn't been a lot of stuff going on since 1993. It suggests that less interest now in this.
Okay.
It does suggest, though, if you're a mouse, it's going to help you. Another miracle Phosphatidylcholine increases levels of choline and acetylcholine in the brain, improves memory, and protects the brain in mice with dementia. Right.
An anticholinergic medication will do the opposite. May possibly promote dementia.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anyone taking those. So that could be something. All right. All right. So I would take both, phosserine and phoscholine. Phoscholine more as standard supplementation. I think phosserine, if there's any issue with memory or you feel like you want to be a little sharper than you are, or you have a little more tip of the tongue syndrome lately, or maybe something
like
that.
I like Bacopa for that these days.
Bacopa is great. Bacopa, Huperzine. Ginkgo may be helpful in enhancing circulation. That may be beneficial as well if there's a circulation problem having to do with memory loss.
Yep.
But thank you for your question.
Yep.
That was from Barbara. Ah, this is great. Remember the article that Alana Cowan wrote about gestational diabetes? This is from Valerie. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, Alana Cowan's article on gestational diabetes in your recent Intelligent Medicine newsletter has me confused.
Oh.
I'm decades away from my last pregnancy, but I assume there's a relationship between gestational diabetes and type 2 diabetes. I don't have diabetes, no doubt in large part because I follow a healthy diet. But until reading the article, I thought I was doing the right thing by eating big salads, lots of vegetables, healthy oils, some fruit, and some protein. But Alana says that such a diet contributed to a problem, and she needs to consume far more protein and fat. I heard over and over that just a small amount of protein is appropriate, but too much is not good. Right. That is absolutely true.
Right.
Can you clarify?
So the way to clarify it is that by this is that there's this thing called the glycemic index, which predicts the impact of various foods on your blood sugar.
Yeah.
And it was developed by a guy named Dr. David Jenkins in the 1990s, who's a very well-regarded nutrition scientist in Canada. I think he's the University of Toronto.
Yeah.
And so this is all the rage. You know, you look for the, you find books, the GI diet, you know, where you look at the glycemic index of foods and you eat according to the glycemic index, the idea of keeping your glycemic index low because it'll have less impact on your blood sugar, which in turn will have less impact on your insulin and it won't cause metabolic syndrome or prediabetes. Fine. Recently, however, I've noticed that it doesn't seem to work out that well for some people. And the Israeli researchers, some Israeli researchers recently did, you know, cast some light on why that might be because they administered the same foods to different individuals and they had different responses to the same foods. So that one was fine with carrots, another one, the blood sugar went through the roof. So you have to, if you have diabetes,
Or even pre-diabetes.
One of the best things to do is to test your meals and see how you do. And you'd be see some surprise. I mean, I spoke to someone who said, you know, I can handle raspberries, but mm-hmm. blueberries, no.
Wow. Yeah.
It was that defined. You know, mm-hmm. it's like raspberries, okay, blueberries, not. For some reason, you know, unclear reason.
Yeah. Yeah. So glycemic index overall, and I find it can be very confusing for a patient or a client when I tell them, you know, a baked potato will have a much greater impact on your blood sugar than a dish of Häagen-Dazs vanilla ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
That's very confusing
yes, right.
for a client, but it has to do with the fat
right.
content more than anything. Glycemic load is actually, I think, more of... The thing about the glycemic index, and I know we've talked about this even recently, is nobody's just having a baked potato on its own.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be stuffed with something,
right.
maybe some broccoli and cheddar, or you're going to...
So it's best to take to do a meal strategy and look
exactly.
at the combination of what
exactly.
that's doing to you.
Right. So Valerie, what we would say to you is everybody is really individual. In Alana's case, she found
right.
that, you know, having a dish of cucumbers and carrots mm-hmm. wasn't that great for her blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But having a little more avocado or guacamole with some celery, mm-hmm. she was better off that way.
Right.
Less impact on her blood sugar.
Right.
That may not be the same for you
right.
or for me mm-hmm. or for Dr. Hoffman. It's going to be
yep.
highly, highly individual.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, too much protein
can convert to sugar.
Can convert yeah. to blood sugar.
Gluconeogenesis,
so
right, yeah.
So when you're doing...
Well, that's why when
yeah.
I know what you're going to say, is that some people, they're so fat phobic,
yeah.
the only thing they understand is to swap carbs with protein.
Yes.
And then they get they take the skin off the chicken, they get the very lean cuts of meat because
right.
they're afraid of the fat. And then they're surprised that their blood sugar doesn't improve that much. You need fat for the satiety
yes.
value.
And not just that. When you're embarking on a low-carb diet and you're no longer eating the bread, the pasta, the grains, the potatoes, you're probably having another chicken breast or a bigger steak.
Mm-hmm.
That's the excess protein we're talking
right.
about that will convert to blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So really, you know, you shouldn't be having 3 chicken breasts for dinner with your salad. That's not the way to properly do. A low-carb diet is not a high-protein diet. It's a higher-fat diet.
Right.
So.
Well, there you go. And, well, time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah.
And we're out of time.
Okay.
So we have several questions on the cutting mm-hmm. room floor. We're going to get to them next week. So
yes.
please be patient. Send your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. Enjoy what's left of your summer. And keep on.
It goes too quickly.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, here's some consolation for you.
Hmm.
My observation, I don't know about you, but this is the most lethargic time of the year for people.
Yeah.
And if you're not feeling so great, just wait till we turn the corner into, you know, late September, mid-October. You're going to feel a surge of energy. Do the right thing now. Eat lightly. Don't succumb to the summer, you know, this whole sloppiness people get in the summer where they
right.
drink a lot and they eat a lot of sugar and
mm-hmm.
things fall apart. Because if you pack on the pounds now, you're not going to enjoy the benefits of the cooler weather. And
that's true, too. And then to couple that with the holidays coming after that, uh-oh.
Work out early in the morning, really
yes.
early in the morning,
mm-hmm.
before it gets hot, or go to your air-conditioned gym. Keep the workouts going.
Yes.
Because you're going to lose conditioning, and there's always an excuse not to work out. And pretty soon, the excuse won't be it's too hot. The excuse will be
a habit.
It's too cold.
It's too cold.
It's like
right.
it's always something.
Yes, I can't go running outside. It's
too cold. It's chilly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
thank you, everybody.
All right. On that final note, I'm signing off. Dr. Ronald Hoffmeyer. This is Intelligent Medicine.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.